Welcome to Crash Concepts, where the economy, energy, and the environment are explored. Up next, fresh ideas and insights into the factors that are driving the world and shaping your future. Presenting information you can't afford to live without, here's Chris Martinson.
Welcome everyone to this Peak Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Chris Martinson, and it is December 26, 2017, and this is the very last featured voice podcast of 2017, and I wanted it to be a special one. Many of you are listening to this while you are either on break from work or with your extended family or both. I had a really sweet, very special Christmas with my family this year, and I no longer take these peaceful, safe moments of deep contentment for granted. I mean, who knows what tomorrow's going to bring, right? Nobody knows, except we know one thing. There's going to be change. You know, whatever the special configuration we're sharing this holiday, it's only certain that next year is going to be different. Everybody's going to be a year older, events will have happened, nobody's going to be exactly the same. So happy holidays to everyone, and Adam and I would like to wish everyone a very special new year. Okay, now what makes this such a special podcast for me is our guests. And as you all know, I'm not exactly in the business of telling people what they want to hear. I'm really in the business of telling them what they need to hear. And sometimes this resonates with what they already know, so it's received as a confirmation that, oddly or in many cases, can be comforting in its own way. And other times what I have to say is jarring, it can be experienced as uncomfortable or challenging, if not disturbing by some people, at least at first. Which is why I especially value people who are willing to step outside of their own comfort zones and risk having Adam and I bring our message to their personal networks. I mean, that's a moment of real trust, and nobody has done that more graciously and with arms held more wide open than Robert Helms and Russell Gray, today's guests. They are the hosts of the Real Estate Radio Guys, a real estate investing talk program for investors that's been running since 1997. And over many years, they've carefully nurtured their most prized asset into an extraordinary network of contacts and connections. They value the people around them. Both Robert and Russ have many decades of real estate investing experience between them, and they absolutely, I'm going to use this word carefully, love to share that experience with other people. Welcome, Robert. Welcome, Russ. Great to have you on the program.
Hey, Chris. Thanks so much, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having us.
Well, listen, let me start here. Last year, you invited Adam and myself to participate in your Summit at Sea, and that was our first time participating. I didn't know what to expect. I showed up and people are wearing necklaces with chili peppers around them. I didn't know what that meant. I was a complete neophyte. And for those of you listening who may not know, the Summit at Sea is a 9-day long experience on a cruise ship. It's 2/3 intensive learning and 1/3 serious playtime that runs deep into each night or maybe early morning, I should say. The first 2 days are on land. And the learning begins right away, like big conference room, you know, everybody seated. And on that very first day, right near the very tippy top of the entire program, Adam and I were given an extraordinary introduction by Robert and Russ and given a very generous amount of time so that people could be exposed to us and our ideas as early as possible to maximize their ability to interface with both the ideas and Adam and myself personally. Guys, the way we were introduced and the billing you gave us, it really meant a lot to me in all the ways I've described and some I have not. So thank you for that.
Chris, you bet. You know, one of the things that we do with the summit is we want to expose people to different ways of thinking, to different perspectives. We've been fans of your work for a long time, and you and Adam aren't out there saying what everybody else is saying. And what you're saying is important, and we felt that not only do we want our audience to hear it, to jar them a little bit and maybe a wake-up call, but also, as you mentioned, early in the process of spending this week plus together, we always try to get our newer faculty members near the front so people understand, you know, where you're coming from and why. And you guys did a great job, of course, of explaining that and giving them some real food for thought to chew on. And they didn't just have the afternoon to chew on it. They had the whole rest of the week.
Russ, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I just really, you know, appreciate the opportunity to have people bring their best ideas and their A game. And I really felt like you and Adam did that. And the reason we do the summit the way we do it is because it's one thing to listen. You know, it's not like these ideas aren't out there in cyberspace. People can listen to podcasts, they can watch YouTube videos, they can read books. It's a one-way absorption of information, and you get some, but the processing that you get when you get a chance to engage in conversations, and that's really the environment we seek to create. So again, by getting you guys out there early so people could see you, hear the ideas, and then get comfortable with you, and then spend the next 8 days getting to know you and talking to each other as well as you and the different questions that people ask. It's a dynamic. It's an environment you just can't get. Maybe we're old school, but we're still big believers in getting together in a live environment. It's great to learn, you know, digitally, but we think you got to augment that with some real world connections and processing.
Well, you know, I'm a quick learner eventually. One of the things I really came away from, I talk about the summit at sea all the time. Because I encountered ideas there that really transformed me. I had not thought about real estate and the ways it had been presenting, but to be there with people who've experienced it, done it. And what I loved was you didn't just ask people to come up with and say, just tell us all the home runs you hit. You know, you wanted to hear about the six times in a row they walked off of the plate with nothing. And because we learn as much from what doesn't work as what does work. Welcome to being an entrepreneur. I really felt like I was getting real exposure to real ideas from real people who'd put them in practice. It wasn't just this theoretical, hey, if you follow this model, you'll be rich in 20 days. I mean, this was on the ground, real investing ideas. It really changed me. And what I came away from was that it felt like our audiences are similar in the sense that my audience, if I could use one word, I would say they're curious, right? There's like everything is just up for learning. We're a learning organization ourselves. You're a learning organization. So it felt like a really great match. But this was one of the few conferences that I've gone to where I came away with more, many more ideas than I walked in with. And that was really special to me. So, Robert, it's just a fantastic job of, and Russ, of lining up great faculty and then putting everybody into a container where, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for interaction. So that was great for me.
You know, Chris, it's interesting, right? The cruise ship thing is really not what it's about. So we don't even call it a cruise. It's our summit, but it's a summit at sea. And what being on the ship does, it creates this whole environment where there's a lot of things to do and there's a lot of fun to be had, but you're not on your cell phone all the time because it's $3 a minute. You're not locked on the internet because it's painfully slow. Instead, you're almost forced to be interacting personally with people. And because you're getting great ideas from the front of the room, and then you have this awesome time over meals and cocktails and at the beach to discuss these ideas. We tell people it's not a vacation, but it's an amazing amount of fun because of what you hit on, the learning part of it. We don't just put people on stage that are great orators. Oh, we've got some wonderful presenters like, you know, Tom Hopkins and Peter Schiff. But at the same time, a lot of the folks who are our faculty are people that are just really good at what they do, and they're doing it in the real world, as opposed to people that are off, you know, selling courses and programs. Nothing wrong with that. We learn that way, and we love to learn that way. But when you put people in front of the room who are humble enough to share their challenges and failures, I mean, let's face it, you can learn a ton from failure if you'll get the lesson.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll tell you, one of my favorite moments, I had many favorite moments, but one that just sort of popped up here was at dinner every night, which is one of those great moments to park it with some of the faculty. And you did a great job distributing faculty around to all the different tables. And one of the evenings, it turned out that I was at the same table as G. Edward Griffin, who the author of Creature from Jekyll Island, and his lovely wife. And here's my rocking conversation. It was extraordinary. And by the end, we had all these other people gathered around, and we were kicked out by the staff because we were the last table in a very large place. It was probably serving 1,000 people. I don't know, a huge restaurant. And the conversation just, we didn't know where to draw it to a close, and it continued the next day. So it was that kind of interface was really good for me because it turns out that's where I learn the most for myself. That's my process. I like to sit down, talk with people, ask them a lot of questions, find out where they're at. And so that was just a magic moment for me.
If I can jump in, Chris, I think that you've just hit on something that is so key, because a big part of the mission of the summit is to create those conversations. And, you know, when you can get two big brains like yourself and G. Edward Griffin going, it attracts curious people like moths to a flame. And it doesn't surprise me that people would huddle around. I mean, that story that you told has been going on. You know, this is, we've done it for 15 years now. You came on the 15th annual. We got the 16th annual coming up next April. And the challenge for us is to create an environment that's intellectually stimulating for our faculty. There's no way we could afford to hire the caliber and quantity of the faculty that we have. It just would cost too much. The event would be prohibitively expensive. It's not cheap as it is, which means you're hanging out with great quality people, but it would be ridiculous if we were having to write gigantic checks. So we have to create an environment that is attractive to people like yourself, where you say, you know what, I'm here not just because I want to share, but because I want to learn, because this is intellectually stimulating. And Robert Kiyosaki has come back year after year for that reason. Peter Schiff, year after year. G. Edward Griffin. We have so many great people that come, and they come back with their ideas. And so this notion that you talk about, you and Adam talk about, with social capital, we didn't really recognize that concept coming out of 2008. We hadn't heard of you yet, but, you know, we took our lumps in the real estate industry in 2008. And coming out of that, we realized we really needed a stronger network, a smarter network. And we went to work on that. And the summit was our number one tool to do that. And it's really exceeded all of our expectations. It's just been crazy, not only how it's helped us build a social network that's powerful, and we feel very confident going into whatever the future may hold, you know, good, bad, or ugly. We feel like with our network of people, we're going to get good perspectives and great ideas and access to resources and the ability to make good decisions and navigate the changing landscape well. But we've also created an environment where the people who attend get that as well, because it's like going to summer camp. These people show up and they kind of don't know each other. I mean, it's a kind of a reunion every year for a core group of people that come year in and year out. But a lot of people who are coming in for the very first time, they come in and a little apprehensive, you know, maybe a bit like you were your first time. And then after you've gone through it, you've got best friends forever all over the planet, and really smart, accomplished people. So that's a big, big part of the value proposition for both the people who attend, for us, and for faculty members like yourself.
Russ, well said. You know, it's an experience Adam and I have when we run our seminars. One of the key values for the people is just the other people who show up. And honestly, we could host this whole thing and get laryngitis and people would still have a great time and get a lot out of it. And for me, you're absolutely right. I am still in connection with people I met on that cruise. We've been talking about possible business deals through emails and thinking things through. And I'll tell you how it impacted me personally. I've been looking at real estate very differently. I looked at probably 70 properties over the past 3 or 4 months. I don't think it's quite the right time to get in, but I've been running the spreadsheets and starting to figure stuff out. You two graciously granted me a copy of your book, Equity Happens. Fantastic book, by the way. I have my son reading it right now. And so just beginning to get familiar with all this, because the overlap here is that, you know, Adam and I talk about, if you have all your money in tertiary wealth, right, you have all your wealth expressed in dollars, derivatives, paper, all that stuff, you're exposed. We think people should have their money in primary and secondary wealth. That would be gold, silver, real estate, tangible assets, you know, all the things that Kiyosaki's a big believer in, you guys as well. And so the thing that we tell people, though, is that's easy to say, it's harder to do. Because Wall Street's made it easy to press a button, get your money into Wall Street. That's easy, right? Click, done. You know, I bought some Facebook shares, you know. But to do real estate or to do local investing or to be an entrepreneur is harder. And you have to be willing to roll up your sleeves, do your due diligence. There's a process for that. So for me, it was really valuable to meet people who had done it and had been there. And there are all these different ideas out there. And, you know, many of my listeners no longer believe in sending their money to Wall Street. They think it's either a big scam or at least it's a system that only seems to reliably enrich Wall Street by some odd 100-year plus coincidence. But they want to get their money into real stuff. They don't know where and how to get started with that. Russ, you mentioned that 2008 was kind of an expensive moment. I'm going to call that tuition. So yes, the Summit at Sea is a fairly expensive proposition for some people, given that it happens on a cruise line. And guess what? Cruises are cost money. But when you consider the alternative of how you're going to get exposed to these ideas and how you're going to begin the process of getting away from having all your money in Wall Street and out here into the real world, To me, this is actually I no longer know how to really put an appropriate dollar value on the kind of learning that you two are exposing people to.
I mean, when you think about the idea, you know, what an idea is worth or what a relationship is worth, access to an opportunity, a chance to collaborate. You know, we do a lot of syndicating where people invest together. That way you can go do bigger deals and you bring extra brain power to the project. There are these little JVs that you do as an investor. And these are the types of things you really don't do, you know, in a Wall Street scenario. And where do you go to get access to the people and the ideas and build the relationship and the trust? It's hard to do. But we spend a lot of our time, you know, not only sharing ideas, but sharing people and creating environments where people can get to know each other. And, you know, no business gets done. It's not about that. It's about just setting the foundation to have an opportunity to go forward. And so it's great when we follow up and hear, you know, months later, as you're sharing, hey, I'm still in touch with people. We're talking about doing things together. I mean, that's what it's about. That's really what business is all about. And I think that a lot of this, the way Wall Street has evolved to make it almost clinical, sterile, inhuman, has really, when people are doing business with other people, I think generally are good. People care about other people. But when someone is just an account number, they're just a blip on a computer screen, it's easy to abuse that. And I think that, you know, maybe people go into that paper jungle feeling, you know, human, but I don't know that they can stay human very long in there. There's big numbers and it's just nameless, faceless. You know, I'm not a fan. I'm a much bigger fan of people doing business. I call it Main Street investing with Main Street. I think that that's the way it should be. That's the way it was designed to be. And I think it's just a lot more pleasant, a lot more profitable when it's done that way. But to your point, Chris, not easy to do. That's why we do what we do, to create those environments to facilitate that.
Absolutely. Robert, anything to add to that?
Well, I think the fact that it is more difficult to learn to invest in real estate is actually a benefit, because what it does is it separates you, and it's not a perfect market. The stock market is essentially a perfect market. I mean, there's certainly some insider, you know, trading that happens, but it's not supposed to. It's illegal. In real estate, insider trading is exactly what makes the market the market it is. When you have knowledge of a market, a demographic, a product type that somebody else doesn't, because you're more diligent, more studious, better connected, then that gives you an advantage. And so the fact that it takes some time means that the folks that are willing to put that time in are going to be more serious about it. It's an investment of time. And I think that's kind of one of the themes here. You know, we talk about what things cost, but as investors, we want to see a return on anything we spend money on. And education shouldn't cost you money. It should make you money, whether it's directly or not. The lifestyle that you create from the things that you learn and putting those things into action, it can be extraordinary. And we look at real estate as the ultimate asset. You know, they say they're not making any more land. And, you know, Mark Twain said, don't wait to buy real estate and wait. You know, over time, there is demand for land, not just from a housing perspective, but agricultural. I mean, there's so many different uses of real estate. Gold, silver, oil, all come out of the land. And so we're big believers in what we call real assets. And you know, you've hit that pretty well. I know you guys are out speaking out of that same songbook. But a big part of real estate investing is getting connected. It's not just what you know. It's who you know.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things people hear about real estate investing, it can be sort of a cartoonish sort of a word for people who haven't been exposed to it. You know, it's, oh, real estate, that's buildings, right? But what I was exposed to last year were all the different niches. There's all these different ways to participate in it. One way was through residential assisted living. And we had Gene Guarino on my program a while back to expose people to that idea. First met Gene on the Summit at Sea. And it's a great idea. It's a real win-win. There's a win, three wins in this, right? So I think there's a lot of ways for that to really be doing good and making money while doing that. And as well, recently, you two exposed me to the idea of how you can have that same sort of an approach to, say, an investment property that happens to also be your vacation property. And that's just a fantastic idea. So there are lots of different ways to participate in this. And so I think you guys have just done a great job of bringing people in who can show all these different niches. Here's all the different ways to participate. So that was a real eye opener for me. And I continue to look forward to how I can learn more about all of that, because a diversified portfolio, let's face it, what an uncertain world. But if you could take that education, it shouldn't cost you. It should make you money. If you could take that to some colleges, take that idea out, I think
you'd be doing a service. What you're going to do with the education that matters. I mean, that's the thing. It's one way you go get an education for a reason. And Robert Kiyosaki talks a lot about that age old idea of get a good education so you get a good job so you can make a good living and all that. Well, it's a whole new world. And the change that you started talking about at the program, and it's a recurring theme with you and Adam, is not lost on us. This is an ever changing world from every level. And we know in real estate that the long term prognosis for real estate is great. People will need and demand land and what land can do, from housing to commercial to agriculture on up. But it's not going to happen without some work. And that's where I think people bristle away. You know, you talked about the ease of investing in the stock market, and it is easy. But just because it's easy doesn't make it the right thing to do. My mentor, Jim Rohn, used to say the definition of easy is something you can do. And so real estate investing is easy. It's something you can do. You just need to be committed to the process. And to your point, we love to expose our listeners and a lot of folks to different ideas. If I'm a single family home investor, that's great. You know, get rich in a niche and all that and get really good at it. But you might as well also look at other angles of real estate investment, because who knows, the market changes and we can't make investment decisions based on the same assumptions that we have today. I think nobody points that better than you and Adam, that we cannot rely on today's rules being the rules going forward. And the neat thing about real estate is you can move around within it. You can diversify within real estate the same way the traditional diversification model goes. The difference is you're investing in a real, tangible asset.
Now, you just mentioned a really important hot topic. Here we are, and I don't want to put you guys on the spot because this only happened a little over a week ago, but the tax code just got changed enormously, and obviously it's got a lot of implications across all different sorts of classes. Would this be, of investments, will this be an area that people can learn more about on the Summit at Sea this year?
Yeah, I think part of what we'll be looking at is that. Yeah, I know that, Russ, you've had your mind around this for quite a while leading up to the potential changes in the tax code.
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime there's change, you know, we look back at the last major tax reform in 1986, and then, you know, on the heels of that, we had the collapse of the savings and loan, and the reasons people were investing in real estate at the time were for the losses against their active income. When they lost those losses, they quit investing, all the money came out. All the savings and loans that had made loans against those properties were upside down, and you had, financial crisis 101. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't too dissimilar from what happened in 2008 when, bond market crashed and took the mortgage-backed securities with it, or maybe the other way around. But the point is that you know, when people are running the numbers, I always say do the math, and the math will tell you what to do. And part of that calculation is the tax ramifications. So you look at the SALT thing, the state and local tax and being lost, and you think of a place like California. And California's got a high income tax. And all of a sudden, you can't write that off. You know, do you think some people from California might be looking at moving to Nevada or maybe even out to Arizona, where they still have some income tax, but not as much? I think so. I think you're going to see some people, high net worth people that can work from anywhere, decide it's time to make a move. So, we're going to be watching for those things. The great news is, unlike the paper market, where someone can have a panic attack and hit the sell button and crash a market, or you can bet on things in the future market and manipulate pricing. I mean, look what's happened to Bitcoin since it ended up on the futures, which is a whole different discussion. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that with real estate. It's, you know, real estate moves very slowly because of the nature of the beast, the logistics. You can't mass buy it. You can't mass sell it. You've got people and businesses occupying it. They don't just move in and out, you know, in a nanosecond. So because of that, we can watch these trends develop. We can get together and have conversations conversations with smart people who are looking at it from all the different angles, and then talk about what moves can we be making to anticipate kind of the macro trend. Where is money going and people going to move away from, and where are they going to move into as a result of the tax code? And so those are the kinds of discussions that are perfect to have on the summit at sea. Because you have people who are expert in all of these different things, and by then they will have had 3 or 4 months to really have thought about it, and they'll have their best ideas. So yes, it's absolutely going to be a topic of discussion, and that's the value of having a strong social network. When you have that, and you have people who are studying, you know, what you're into, and they're looking at it from their angles and different angles, and you get together and share ideas, you get a 360 faster. Most people are going to figure it out. In fact, we just published a newsletter on that exact topic, but the great ones figure it out early. And so the key is if you want to be great at anything, it's how can you figure it out faster? And to me, you just got to hang around a lot of other brains that are working on the problem, compare notes, compress time frames, and figure out how to make your moves quicker. And so the summit's going to be a lot of discussion about that. We're also going to be talking about the new faces on the Fed, future of money and wealth. Obviously, the meteoric rise of Bitcoin in 2017. And of course, the topic that we did that call on with Brian London, you know, what's going on with oil and gold and the yuan and China's moves and all those politics surrounding the dollar. So there's a lot to talk about in 2018. You know, the tax code is just one more thing. But yeah, we're going to be talking about all that stuff.
Well, fantastic. And I'm just going to put a quick plug in here for anybody listening. Sunday, January 7th at noon Eastern, Adam and I are going to be putting on a webinar about Bitcoin. And we have one of our own resident experts who's going to be holding that for that with our own Emrys or Mark from the site. He made a ton. He called it early. He's very knowledgeable. So that's going to be obviously a topic of discussion. This is a real game changer, potentially. So figuring this out early and fast, as you mentioned, Russ, that's really important. So, hey, Adam and I are thinking, and we're not thinking of, we both plan to be there at this next summit at sea. So for anybody thinking about this, this is a chance to spend, I guess, 9 days with Adam and myself, which is 7 too many, but hey, you got to buy the whole package. So who else is going to be on the faculty this year that you know about?
We got Robert Kiyosaki coming back, which we're very excited about. Peter Schiff is coming back. G. Edward Griffin is coming back. Chris Martinson and Adam Taggart are coming back, which we're very excited about. We have, I'm trying to think who else. We've got a couple of newbies. It's a dynamic. We're constantly recruiting. We don't always announce. Simon Black from Sovereign Man is coming back. And we have some new folks that we're working on that I don't think we're at liberty to share yet, but we're going to have probably at least one or two people that we've never had before, and that's going to be exciting. So, you know, it's a challenge. It's like herding cats. These people are super busy. It's a huge time commitment. But somehow, some way, we always manage to get Brian London, who does the New Orleans Investment Conference, is coming back. You mentioned Gene Guarino. He'll be with us. And several of our other real estate faculty members who, you know, are experts in their respective niches, they're all going to be with us. So it's a lot of brain power. And last year we sailed with 200 people, and I think we had about 120 people re-up before we even got off the ship. So we have a lot of people coming back that are experienced summiteers. And so they, you know, break the ice and they get the conversations going. And so there's going to be a lot of great discussions, a lot of great topic, and of course, what's going on in the world, a lot of great subject matters to cover.
Oh, there'll be plenty to talk about, of course. And one of the things I loved was discovering that so many of you play instruments. And so when I say party hard into the night, there was the band was really just people from the cruise. It was an amazing thing. I'm going to have to dust my old axe off and talk to you guys about a set list offline here for a minute. So I know at least a couple chords on some of these things. So was really impressed with the ethic all the way around, from the learning to the playing. It was a great mix. Really great.
You know, it's live together, study together, play together, hang out, getting to know people at a real level. And it's got to be fun, right? If learning's not fun, then you don't want to do it. It's like, you know, when you go to hear a boring lecture, you may be really interested in the topic, but struggling to stay awake because of the delivery. We think if you're not laughing, you're not learning. You got to get around folks. And it makes it real. It connects those dots. Instead of just hearing something in the abstract, now you have a conversation at dinner and say, hey, what'd you think about what's, you know, Chris Martinson said today? And someone has an epiphany that could be as meaningful as hearing the stuff, you know, yourself. And then, you know, you get out in the environments that are fun at night, right, where the band plays and there's, you know, shows around the ship and all that kind of stuff. Well, that lets people let their guard down a little bit and start to get, you know, that heart-to-heart connection, which is so important. You know, I think there's a lot today that people can do to hide away from the world. They can sit and watch the webinars and watch the digital content and listen to the podcasts, which are all things you should do. But if you stop there, then you miss that real human connection. You know, we talked about that last time we had you on our show, Chris, how important, you know, that social capital aspect is. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys do an amazing job of explaining the 8 forms of capital. And coming into, you know, your work, we were very focused on the 1 form of capital, right? Economic capital,
yep.
Which you spend a lot of time on. And it, even that is a bigger picture than everyone thinks. But there's so much more to life and the richness of life, getting around people that are as passionate. They may not be interested in the exact same things, but they're as passionate to be better, have more, do more, make a bigger dent in the world. That's the cool part of getting together with a great group of folks that are committed.
Absolutely.
Well, let me just add on one thing real quick, sure. Too, because I think this is important. A lot of people think it's about information. I mean, we live in the information age and, you know, information is everywhere and it's coming at us all the time. And people are hungry for information, but information is only the tip of the iceberg. It's really wisdom. And, you know, wisdom you learn through life experience and hopefully shared life experiences. And then if it's the right kind of information and wisdom, then that leads to transformation, you know, so you're no longer the same as you were. It's about change, positive change. It's about taking information and then applying it wisely into taking action that makes a difference, a tangible difference in your life and in the world. And so if you think about culture and how you learned to speak your native language and the cultural attitudes you have, the way you think about life, your morality, all of that was learned in an environment. It wasn't learned in a book. It was learned by being around people that spoke the language, that lived the values. And when people are wanting to make a change and they say, you know, I want to learn how to invest a different way. I want to become part of a different kind of community. I want to learn how to think and feel and behave and process the way people who are successful in this space do. The only way you're going to be able to do it is to spend time. It's just like in, you know, college or high school when you're taking a foreign language and, you know, you learn in a classroom and you're doing your whatever you're doing. But if you can go spend time, like if you're learning to speak Spanish and you can go spend time in Mexico or Spain and you live there for a week, you're going to learn more in that week about that culture and how to really speak that language than in a whole year of college class or, you know, textbooks and drills and flashcards. And that's really what the summit is. The summit is a transformational experience because you put yourself in an environment with people who speak a language, who process the world a certain way, who are taking action and making a difference in their lives and in the world because of the types of investing that they do. And you've experienced it, Chris, because you've seen it. You know what it's like to be around this. The hardest thing Robert and I have every year, try as we may, we try to overpromote this thing. We try to tell people how great it is, how awesome it is, how they'll never be the same. And yet, at the end of every summit, we send out the surveys, and everybody says, it's even better than I thought. It surprised me to the upside. You guys didn't really promote it well enough. So we're at a loss. We don't know how to tell people what it is. It's not about information. It's about transformation. It's about culture. It's about becoming part of a community. And, you know, for the people who do it and come back year after year, they become part of a global fraternity of people that are committed to succeeding in this space come what may. And you and I both know there's a lot of come what may coming.
Well, absolutely. That's very well said. You know, Adam and I struggle with the same thing, which is we don't quite know how to bill our own seminars, except, you know, if I could grab people by the lapels, I would say, just come. And you will be transformed by this in ways that are very positive. And I felt at home right away. You guys build an incredible container. Anybody, if anybody's thinking ever that who's listening to this, that you want to maybe become an MC and learn how to, you know, host or conduct a seminar, you have to come just to see Robert on stage. Robert, you are by,
that's right.
You are like, it's almost like, though I'm going to tell people to come and watch Babe Ruth if they want to learn how to swing a bat, because you're that good. You really are.
Well, thank you for that. You know, getting people together is the crux of this thing. And when disparate people come together and they're not sure, and maybe they have something in common because, you know, they were told about the event by a faculty member or an attendee or our podcast, and they come in and they're still unsure, the sooner we can create community, the better. And I think a big part of my job at the summit is to pull people together in a way that it doesn't feel forced, doesn't feel weird. You're not, you know, standing up and high-fiving five neighbors, you know, all that. Well, that stuff that can be fun, but, you know, having this camaraderie that starts soon, because, you know, Russ made the comparison to summer camp. And if you remember summer camp, right, you came as strangers and you left as friends crying, you're not going to see each other. And that's really what happens at the summit. We don't want it to be day eight when you feel that way. We want it to be right out of the gate. And it's also punctuation. You know, you only get, it's one of the oddest things, like, so Robert Kiyosaki, this will be his fifth year. And typically, you know, that's a hard guy to get. I mean, he's a, you know, best-selling financial author in the history of Earth, doesn't do a lot of live seminars anymore. When he does, it's for 10, 20, 30,000 people. To get him for a week is pretty rare. And as Russ said, it's not because we're writing him a big check. He comes because he wants to be there as a student. And in spite of the fact that he's there, he only gets a couple of hours on stage because we have so many other great perspectives. And he's not there to teach. He's there to learn. He loves to teach and he's happy to teach, but he's there to learn. He gets as much out of it. And he shared this with us again and again. In fact, we just spent 3 days with him last week. And he, you know, he's all about getting people together to talk about real issues and the different perspectives, different vantage points. You know, it's been said that when two people think exactly alike, that one is unnecessary. Right. Not as a person, but in the conversation. And we have a lot of like-mindedness, but we also have a lot of diversity, which is what I think makes it great. And the way that you can punctuate that, you know, the MC part of it is just you're drawing out the best somebody has in 45 minutes, an hour, hour and 15 minutes, and then encouraging the folks by the environment we create to get in there and mix it up and talk about it and discuss it and make what you just heard your own.
Well, very well said, but you do it. You've just a fantastic job creating that container. And again, this is less about being on a cruise ship. That creates its own sort of container, as you will, but it's really almost unnecessary, except for the destination. So last year shipped out of Galveston, you know, out of Texas, out going across the Gulf of Mexico and went to Belize. Adam and I unfortunately had to hop off early in Honduras and Roatan and fly back to do our own seminar this year. Where's the cruise going?
Yeah, so this year we leave out of Fort Lauderdale, and we've got a great host hotel. We're spending 2 full days on land before we get on the ship the third day, and that's because we've got some big stuff planned. Probably the biggest and best faculty we've ever had in 16 years. Super excited about that. Some of the names we can't share with you yet, but we will tell you that it's going to be worth your time and money to come. And even just those 2 days are going to be extraordinary. We've got panels. We've got great stuff planned. And then from there, we always pick an itinerary that has at least 3 C days so that that's when we do the classes, the seminars, what we call roundtables, which are small group discussions. We have a lot of fun. And then we pick port days. And the 3 ports this year are San Juan, Puerto Rico. Obviously, San Juan's been in the news. There's a lot that's been going on there. A couple of our faculty members have residences in Puerto Rico. So we're looking to understand the, you know, advantages of that marketplace, but also some of the challenges they've had. Are there ways real estate investors can help solve those challenges? We'll also go to St. Thomas, which is a great port of the Caribbean. I was just in St. Martin. We'll be in St. Martin. Still a lot of damage from the hurricanes. So what we typically do is we pick one of our port days where we do some sort of group fun activity. It's totally optional, but generally most people do it. We have a beach party or we go catamaran sailing or snorkeling or something fun. Again, making it social, but making it fun. We'll pick one port where we do an optional real estate shore excursion, and that's likely to be Puerto Rico in 2018. And then the other port day is going to be on your own just to have fun and go see and explore, or maybe just take a day off and be in a spa, whatever you want to do. But we always pick cool ports And the ship is beautiful. It's a great ship. And we've been on the Celebrity Line a couple of times. We don't always go with the same cruise line. It really, for us, is more about the timing and itinerary and fitting it into how, the summit portion of it works, because it is less about the cruise. But your hotel does move around to some pretty cool places. So a lot of the fun of it and a lot of the variety of it is seeing different parts of the world. And especially as real estate investors, we love to open people's eyes as to the fact that you don't have to invest next door to your home, right? You can invest all over the world, and you can come see that up close and personal by the very fact that the summit moves from place to place.
Well, fantastic. And Russ, if people who are now interested, they want to find out more and they'd like to sign up for this, where do they go?
I think the easiest thing, if they want to send an email to summit@realestateguysradio.com, summit@realestateguysradio.com, then we can send them the information. That's the easiest. They'll just auto reply.
Well, good. We'll have a link to that directly below this in the comments section, link to this podcast so people can find that easily. Hey, if you're listening, just look below. You can click there, and Russ will get right back to you, I'm sure. So, hey, I'm really looking forward to this. I really can't wait. And I'm one of those people who would be filling out that survey response saying, I got more out of this than I thought. I really didn't know what to expect, but it really exceeded my expectations. And I still talk about it. And most importantly, I have a really good feeling about it. Like, I look back on it fondly. You know, there was no glitch points. It was just great. And most importantly, it was, I think something you said, Robert, is that these were my people. Right? We didn't all care about the same things, but these were people who were doing things, and they cared. They cared maybe about different things, but they were all very active, very successful, very engaged, and curious. So really, it was just such an honor to be invited and to discover, oh, here's a whole nother tribe that is kind of like my tribe, and we share a lot of similarities, and it was great to have those pieces sort of interface. So I'm sure anybody who's part of my tribe would really, I'll make this almost a guarantee, you're gonna love the tribe that these guys have put together. So Robert and Russ, thank you A, so much for inviting Adam and myself, B, for doing this, and for C, for help. Really, it's a question of your approach that you really are out there to help people and help people improve their own lives and help people do things, I think, in a constructive way, a really helpful way. It's not about the money. It's about how you go about conducting yourself. And guess what? If you do that well, money follows. Which is my model. So again, thank you so much for all the things you're doing and for the invitations that you've extended and the gracious way you've embraced Adam and myself. I'm really honored.
Well, we can't wait to have you, Chris, and Adam back with us, because you added so much to the summit. And I tell you what, our tribe digs you guys. So it's going to be great to have you back with a little more time this time. But, you know, it's also, if someone's on the fence about it, you know, you can get the information, send the email in, and you can read the testimonials and find out what other people thought. And I think you'll come to the conclusion this is a place you want to be.
Yeah, you know, Chris, you use the word tribe, and if you really think about it, an economy is really just a collection of tribes that do business together, that share. And it doesn't have to be monetary. It can be intellectual. We can share ideas. We can share resources. We can share opportunities. And of course, maybe we do some business together too. But it all starts with getting to know each other. It all starts with being part of a community. And so we really appreciate folks like you and Adam that are out there, that are part of a community of people that see things in the future, looking out at the horizon, and are sounding the warning bells, you know, maybe not alarmist. It's not like it's the end of the world, but the world is changing. And that's a given. The world always changes. And the key to success is being part of a tribe, being part of a community of people that are committed to navigating the changing circumstances successfully. And so we love how you are contributing to that. We love the fact that you're willing to participate in our event. We look forward to doing more stuff together with you in the future and continuing to grow the tribe and take advantage of the opportunities that we have together in the future. So thank you so much.
You're most welcome. And thank you, gentlemen, both for taking time on the day after Christmas to record this. I really appreciate that. I appreciate your time. And I really am looking forward to seeing you both in April. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Chris. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Chris. Happy New Year.